Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Tzaddi Bet. Today's daf is being studied Ya'idu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanihim, Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Sadi Aleph Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom, the Mishnah. As an introduction to the Mishnah, let us review quickly the laws of Aninut once again. An Onen is somebody that lost one of his relatives, one of the seven relatives. We said they are the father, the mother, the brother, the sister that is not married, the son, daughter, and his wife or spouse. In this case, until the burial, the person has a status of an onen. Now, it should be pointed out that onen status min haTorah applies during the day. If the body was still not buried by night, it's a mahloket regarding the status of aninut laila. Our Mishnah is going to take the opinion that Aninut Laila is Isur only Midrabbanan. And therefore, the Gemara is going to say that if a person was an Onen, he is able to go to the Mikveh and eat the Korban Pesach at night. Now, what does an Onen have to go to the Mikveh for? He didn't become Tameh. So one of the Gezerot that the Hachamim made was that since an onen is not allowed to eat kodashim, that's one of the things an onen cannot do. He cannot eat basar of korbanot. So the Hakamim said, when the aninut is over, in order for him to go back to his position to eat kodashim, he must go to the mikveh first. So therefore, let's say on Erev Pesach, the guy becomes an onen. Now, the Mishnah is going to say, he goes to the mikveh, and they can bring the Korban Pesach for him. Even though, by night, he might still be an onen. Since Aninut Laila is only the Rabbanan, the rabbinical law was waived because of the law of Korban Pesach, which is Isur Karet. And that's what the Mishnah means over here. Onen Tobel, the onen goes to the mikveh, ve'ochel et pescho la'erev. I can eat this Korban Pesach in the evening, even though Aninut Laila Midrabbanan, it is pushed away in lieu of Korban Pesach. Aval lo bakodashim, but not regarding other Korbanot. Meaning, let's say the guy's an Onen, and now it's night, and he wants to eat other Korbanot. He wants to eat a Korban Shelamim. In that case, we say no. There, the rabbis didn't waive the law of Aninut Laila in front of, let's say, regular korbanot. Only in front of korban Pesach, which is Isur Karet, was Aninut Laila waived. I want to point out again that the onen can only eat so long as he goes to the mikveh first. That is a din de Rabbanan. Mishnah continues. Hashomeya al meto. Let's say a person heard about one of his relatives that died. After, let's say, even 30 days after the fellow passed away, he got the news. Now the Hakamim said on the day that a person hears the news of the loss of a deceased one, they gave him a status of Aninut. That day is considered an Onen. And therefore, it's only Aninut Rabbanan. Therefore, such a fellow, if that day Yom Shemua landed on Erev Pesach, he would be allowed to bring the Korban Pesach again, because Aninut Rabbanan is waived in front of the Korban Pesach. Ve'amilaket lo atzamot. Or for that matter, a person that is reinterring the bones of his parents. What they would do sometimes is they would bury their parents in one plot, and then after the flesh would decay, they would take the bones and they would reinter it in a different area. So the Mishnah is saying, obviously they themselves were not doing it, because if they themselves did it, they would become tameh mideoraita. They had somebody else do it for them. But the hadush is, on the day that the reinterment takes place, the relatives become onin, and therefore it's only aniyut rabbanan. So if the day of the reinterment was erev Pesach, the deen would be they go to the mikveh, and they would be able to bring. So basically the principle of our Mishnah is aniyut rabbanan is pushed away for Korban Pesach. Now, v'medaket lo atzamot, tovel ve'ochel ba'kadashim. The hadush over here is that he can even eat kadashim in this case of melaket atzamot. Why? Because since the whole law of melaket atzamot is midrabbanan, even in the day it's only midrabbanan. So therefore at night it doesn't apply at all. So therefore, if to eat regular korbanot even would be permissible on the night, because it's not even a din of aninut laila. Look at Rashi. וכן מי שמלקט לו או שלקטו לו עצמות אבי ואמו אמרינם במועד קטן מתאבל עליהן כל היום כולו ולערב אין מתאבל עליהן. Right? Aninut is only in the day, but not at night. Tobel ואוכל בקודשים לערב. ואפילו יום גופה מדרבננו. Because even the day itself is only דרבנן. הלקח בלילה לכאנינות. So therefore there is a leniency by מלקט עצמות over the case of onen. By the case of onen, since aninut laila is drabanan, it doesn't waive the eating of kadashim. But likut atzamot, since there's no aninut at night at all, it will be permissible to eat kadashim. Ger shenitgayer v'erev Pesach. Okay, I have a convert. He converted on erev Pesach. Bet shemay omrim tobel ve'ochel et pescho. Okay, la'erev. He goes to the mikveh, like a convert normally goes to the mikveh, and then by the evening already he can eat his korban pesach. That's the opinion of Bet Shammai. Bet Hillel omrim, ha'poresh mina orla keporesh mina kever. He says that somebody that was not circumcised, that becomes circumcised, that's as if he came from touching a mit. And therefore, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel is going to say that the convert has the status of a tameh mit, and therefore he has to wait 7 days, and therefore he cannot eat the Qurban on Erev Pesach. Because he holds a rule, a poresh mina orla, a person that leaves the status of being orla, is like a person that just left touching a kever. And the Gemara will explain the reason why Bet Hillel makes such a gezerah. Comes the Gemara and says, my ta'ma, what's the reason why you're telling me that in onen, they can slaughter the Qurban Pesach for him during the day, and he can eat it at night? Kasavar aninut de laila de rabbanan. Because the old this Mishnah that the aninut status in the evening is only rabbinical. Vegabe pesach lo yamidu devrem bimkom karet. The rabbis did not stand on their law in a place where you have a isur karet, for example, korban pesach. Gabe kadashim yamidu devrem bimkom aseh. However, eating kodashim, eating other korbanot, is only a positive commandment. It's a positive commandment to eat other korbanot. The positive commandment is ve'achelu otam asher kupar bahem. So therefore, in such a case, since it's only a mitzvah aseh, they're not going to waive their isud rabbanan of aninut laila. But for Pesach, which is karet, they did waive it. Comes the Gemara and continues. One of the cases of the Mishnah we said was melaket atzamot. So the Gemara says, "Milaket atzamot haba'e hazaat shlishi v'shevi'i." Now, what do you mean? If a guy's reinterring his parents, he's becoming tameh. How can he bring korban pesach? He needs to be sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. So the Gemara says, "Ema shliktu lo atzamot." We're talking about a case where he didn't do it himself; he had others do it for him. And the deen is he becomes an onin midrabanan on that day, but he would be permissible to eat the korban pesach the following night. Ger shenit gayir. So we said we had a machloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Amar Rava Bar Barhana Amar Rav Yohanan machloket be'arel nochri. The whole machloket that we have between Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai is specifically by a Gentile that converted, meaning that he circumcised himself. The Bet Hillel Savri, Bet Hillel says like this, Gezerah Shemi Yitma L'Shana Ba'a. we're worried now. Let's say this convert, the following year after he converts, let's say he becomes tamim. Let's say he becomes tamim mit. Okay? V'yomar, and what is he going to say? Ishtakad mi lo tavalti ve'achalti. He says, last year, before I was Jewish, obviously I was tamim. I came in contact with many things before I was Jewish. And what did the rabbis tell me to do? Dip in the mikveh erev Pesach, and I was able to eat. Achshav tameh etbol ve'ochal. So I'll do the same thing now. I'll go to the mikveh like I did last year. I'll cleanse myself from all tum'ah, and I'll eat. Problem is, ve'lo yada, he doesn't know this convert, de'ishtakad nochri hava. Last year he was a goy, ve'lo mekabel tum'ah. He wasn't tameh last year. All the dipping that he went was to convert him, not to relieve him from any tum'ah. Achshav Yisrael, but now he's Yisrael, u'mekabel tum'ah. Therefore, it's not just going to help him to go into the mikveh. So therefore, Betelel makes a gezerah that every convert that circumcises himself and goes to the mikveh on Erev Pesach cannot eat Korban Pesach. Gezerah, that he might become tamid the next year and think, oh, I can just go to the mikveh like I did the year before. And that's not so. The year before, he wasn't tamid. A goy is not tamid. And all the tumah that he came in contact with does not need any tahara process. Mashiach, now that he's Jewish and he became tameh, he's going to need the 7-day process. And he's going to make a mistake to think that tevilah is enough. And therefore, Beit HaMikdash say, Gezerah Beit Shammai Savi lo gazninan. Beit Shammai said, no, we don't make such a Gezerah aval arel Yisrael. But a Jew that circumcised himself, let's say on Erev Pesach, the Bnei HaKol, everybody agrees, Tovel, everybody means he goes to the mikveh and he can eat the Korban Pesach in the evening. Why does he have to go to the mikveh? So again, since an arel cannot eat basar kodesh, once he circumcised himself, hakamim necessitated him to go to a mikveh in order to allow himself to eat. Ve'lo gazlin an arel Yisrael mishum arel nochri. And we don't make a gezerah from an Arel Yisrael to an Arel Nochri. Therefore, Arel Yisrael mutar be'erev Pesach to bring the Korban, meaning he can have the Korban be brought for him, and he can eat subsequently that night. And the Gemara continues, Tanya Namehache. We have a braita to support this. Amar Bishamon El Azar. Lo nechleku bet shema bet leil al Arel Yisrael shetobel ve'ochel et pischol ha'erev. Al ma nechleku? Al arel nochri, shebet shamay omrim tobel v'ochelet b'schol ha'erev, u'betelel omrim ha'poresh min ha'orla, ke'poresh min ha'kever. Straightforward, right? That it says the exact same thing. Ama Rava. Rava comes along and says a din. Arel, an uncircumcised person, hazza'a, sprinkling of somebody that became a tamemet, v'izmal, and the knife of a brit milah, he'emidu devrehem bimkom karet. The rabbis did not waive their rabbinical laws in these cases, even in front of an isud karet. As we're going to see that in these three cases, the rabbis stuck to their rabbinical law, even though by sticking to their rabbinic law, a person would not be allowed to bring Korban Pesach, which is isud karet. So in these three cases, they were stringent in the case of karet. Onen, however, in onen, umetzorah, someone has leprosy, ubeta paris, we'll explain what the beta paris is immediately. Lo emidu devrim bimkom karet. The rabbis waived their rabbinic law for the Korban Pesach, which is karet. So basically, we have six cases here. Three of them, the rabbis stood on their law, and three of them, they waived their law. Now the Gemara is going to go through all six cases. Arel, the case of Arel, ha de Amran. The case of Arel, we already explained. What's the case of Arel? The case of Arel is, according to Rashi, Rashi says, Had Amran, the Hazel Le'urta. We said that, let's say, a Jew that circumcises himself would be permissible to eat the Korban Pesach that evening. Umishum Gezera de Shana Ba'a, Dehuya Betelel, which means even a goy, according to the opinion of Bet Shammai, we said what? we let him circumcise himself on Erev Pesach, and we let him eat the Korban Pesach that night, and we don't make a gezerah that what? That next year he might make a mistake. So you see what? The rabbis waive their gezerot because of Isur of Karet. So that's one case. So the first case is Aril. Okay? Even Aril according to Beit Shammai. That what? That we allow him to circumcise himself, eat on that night, and we do not have a rabbinical law restricting him. Next case. Hazaah. What's the case of Hazaah? I'm sorry. I repeat. According to Beit Shammai. But the halakha doesn't follow Beit Shammai. The halakha follows Beit Hillel. And what does Beit Hillel say? That really the Harel cannot bring the Korban Pesach that night. So what do you see? Because of a rabbinical enactment, the rabbi stood on their rabbinical law and did not allow him to bring the Korban Pesach. So this is a case where the rabbi stood by their law, even in the life of Korban Pesach, according to Beit Hillel. Again, because according to Beit Hillel, the Arel, he cannot bring that night. Well, he circumcised himself. Yeah, because next year he might become Tameh and say, oh, I can just go to the mikveh like I did last year, not realizing last year he was a goy, this year he's a Jew. Yeah, but by making this rabbinical law, you're going to stop him from eating Korban Pesach that night. Doesn't matter. The rabbis stood by their law. That's the interpretation of Aril. Next case. Hazza'ah. What's the case of Hazza'ah? The Amar Mor. Hazza'ah Shevut. Sprinkling somebody on Shabbat with the waters of the Parah Adumah is only Isur the Rabbanan. Why should it be Isur the Rabbanan? Some explain because it's like Mitakin. You're fixing. What are you fixing? You're fixing the person. So therefore it's only Yisud Rabbanan. Ve'enu Duhayet HaShabbat. But it's not Duhayet HaShabbat. And therefore, let's say Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbat, and you had a fellow that was on his seventh day. He needed to be sprinkled in order to eat the Korban Pesach. We're going to say you cannot sprinkle him on Shabbat. If you can't sprinkle him on Shabbat, he's not going to be able to eat Korban Pesach. So you see, the rabbi stood in the rabbinical law, even if it's going to cause the person not to be able to do the Korban Pesach. Last case, Ismail. Ismail is the Berik Milah knife. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Keshem she'en mivi'in oto derek leshut rabim. Just like on Shabbat, you can't carry the knife of the Milah in the public domain. Carrying is asur. Kach en mivi'in oto derek gagot. Nor can you bring the knife even in rabbinical domains, meaning to carry it, let's say, over roofs, vederech hatzerot, or in courtyards, vederech karpifiyot, or let's say, open areas. The point is that the case over here is where you have a fellow that wants to bring the Korban Pesach. Erev Pesach, let's say, fell out on Shabbat. Halakha says, if his children are not circumcised, he cannot bring Korban Pesach. Just like the owner has to be circumcised, his children must be circumcised as well. That means if a fellow has, let's say, a child that's not circumcised, so he cannot bring Korban Pesach himself. Oh, so now it came out Erev Pesach was on Shabbat. One of the guy's children was not circumcised, so they needed a knife. So the only way to get the knife was what? To bring it to a rabbinical domain. What does the deen say? You cannot bring the knife. What do you mean? If I don't bring the knife, I'm not going to be able to bring Korban Pesach. Doesn't matter. The rabbi stood on the law, even with Rabbanan, even if it's going to cause them not to bring the Korban Pesach. So let's review the three cases when Hakamim stood on the law. Case number one was Aril, according to Beit Hillel. The second case was Hazza'ah, sprinkling on the seventh day that falls out on Shabbat. And the third case was Ismail, that we do not even let allow to bring the knife of the Milah in a rabbinical domain to allow the fellow to bring the Korban Pesach. Now we go to the three cases where the rabbis waive their law. Onen had Amaran. Onen, we said already. What was the case of Onen? The fellow lost a relative. Erev Pesach is an Onen. At night, he's only an Onen Midrabbanan. So the rabbis allow you to bring the Korban Pesach and they waive Aninut Midrabbanan, and therefore it is Mutar. That's case number one. Mitzora Mahi. What's the case of Mitzora? Let's review the story of a Mitzora. Mitzora is a person that gets leprosy. Now, the deen is, a person that has leprosy is not allowed to obviously enter the Bet HaMikdash, the Azara. He has to wait 7 days to purify himself. And then, on the eighth day, he has to go bring korbanot. He has to bring sacrifices. Now, what he does is, since he cannot go into the Bet HaMikdash area, how is he going to bring the korban? So it says, they allow him after the seventh day to go to a certain gate called Sha'ar Nikanor. That's on the eastern side of the Bet HaMikdash. And he stands in Sha'ar Nikanor, and the law is, he gives his korbanot to the Kohen from there, and he's able to even stick his thumb into the Bet HaMikdash area, because the law is, the Kohen must sprinkle his right thumb and his right big toe. So he's a problem, but he can't go into the Azara. So he stands in Sha'ar Nikanor. The rabbis made Sha'ar Nikanor specifically not Kodesh like the Azara. Because if it was Kodesh like the Azara, then the Mitzvah can't even stand there. So they gave it the status as, let's say, the Temple Mount, which is less. Okay, so he stands there, and he sticks his finger in, and they sprinkle him, and he's fine. Oh, so now let's say another problem happened to this leper. It was the eighth day where he's supposed to do this process, and now he became a Baal Keri. He had a seminal discharge. Now, the problem is, if a person has a seminal discharge, he's not even allowed in Mahane Leviyah. He's not even allowed in, for example, Sha'ar Nikanor, which would be considered Mahane Leviyah. Let's review the Mahanot. The Hazara itself is considered Mahane Shechina. The Temple Mount is considered Mahane Leviyah. And Jerusalem, within the walls of Jerusalem, is considered Mahane Yisrael. A Baal Keri, some as a seminal discharge, is not allowed to be in Mahane Leviyah. So we have a problem over here. We have a Mitzora. He's on his eighth day. He needs to be in Sha'ar Nikanor in order to get his Tara. The problem is he became a Baal Keri. Now he became a Baal Keri, he cannot go into Sha'ar Nikanor. The problem is, it's Erev Pesach. And if he doesn't get his Tara today, he's not going to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach at night. So again, it's the eighth day of a Mitzora. That Tzor Keri, Erev Pesach. So the rabbis are going to say over here that what? It's going to be permissible for him to go into Sha'ar Nikanor and purify himself. Why? So the Gemara says, Mitzora Mai, Netanya. Mitzora, a leper, Shehal Shemini Shelo Be'erev Pesach. Good. Vera'a Keri, and he saw a seminal discharge, Bobayom, that day, Tobel ve'ochel. He's able to go to the mikveh for his keri, and he's able to eat korban pesach that night. Oh, amru hachamim afati shetivul yom eno nechnas ze nechnas. Even though midrabbanan a tivul yom cannot go into machane leviyah, but in this case the rabbi said let him go in. Why? Mutav yavo ase sheyesh bo karet v'yidche ase she'en bo karet. We'd rather a positive commandment that has karet, which is korban pesach. We'd rather that take precedence over a positive commandment that does not have karet, meaning going into Baal Keri, going into Machane Leviyah, that's not already an inyan of Isur. It's not even, by the way, Isur Torah. As the Gemara is going to prove, it's only Isur Midrabanan. The Gemara says, V'amar b'yohanan, devar Torah afidu aseh en bo. Even from the Torah, for a Baal Keri to go into Machane Leviyah is not asur. Shnei Emar, what's the proof? Ve'yamod Yehoshafat bekahal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim bebet Hashem Yehoshafat. And the Jewish nation stood in Yerushalayim in the Bet HaMikdash lefnei ha'chatzer ha'chadasha, in front of the new courtyard. Now they didn't renovate the courtyard. Why is the courtyard of Bet HaMikdash and Yehoshafat's time called the
new courtyard, the Hasira Hadasha. So it was my Hasira Hadasha, Shehidshu Bo Davar. Because they made a novel interpretation or a novel gizera regarding it. Va'amru Tivul Yom Lo Yikanes B'Mahane Leviyah. So that gizera was made in the times of Yehoshaphat. He was the one that said that a Tivul Yom cannot go into the Mahane Leviyah. So there was only Sudra Banan. So let's go back. If it's only Sudra Banan, the rabbis waived the Isudra Banan and allowed the Mitzorah to go into Sha'an Nikano, which is Mahane Leviyah, in order to purify himself so he can bring the Korban Pesach at night. Now, don't be confused when it says over here in the Braita, let the Aseh that has a Karet push away the Aseh that doesn't have Karet. Going into the Mahane Leviyah as a Barakin, it's no positive commandment at all. Sometimes the Braita uses Lashon Aseh even on a rabbinical enactment. As the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, a Baal Keri going into Mahane Leviyah is only Isum and Rabbanan. It was made by Yehoshaphat. That's what they call the Hatser HaHadasha, the Hatser that they enacted a new Gezerah. So therefore that's the second item where we see the rabbis pushed away their gezerah. Let's say the other side of the story. If the rabbis wouldn't have pushed away their gezerah, that means the Baal Kiri could not go into Sha'an Nikanor. If he couldn't go into Sha'an Nikanor, he could not purify himself. If he cannot purify himself, he cannot eat Korban Pesach on that night. So that's the case with the Hachamim, wave their gezerah. Third case, Beta Paris. What is a Beta Paris? Beta Paris is a field where there was somebody buried in the field. A mit. Came the plows and they plowed up the field. What's the concern when they plow the field? That exactly. The blade of the plow is going to pick up some of the fragments of the body and it's going to strewn them throughout the field. Hachamim made a gezerah that Kohanim should not walk through this field. Because there's a gezerah, that what? Maybe there'll be a fragment of bones, the size of, let's say, a barley, etzim kisora, and they either might touch it as they're walking, or they might move it, and that's going to render the kohen tameh. So therefore, the question is now, let's say you have a kohen. He needs to bring Korban Pesach. But the only way for him to access to get to the Beit HaMikdash is to cross through a Beit HaParis. So the rabbis, now this is only rabbinical, because it's a gezerah. Maybe the Maharisha, pulled up some of the fragments of the bones. So therefore the Gemara says, Ditnan, Veshavin, Betshamayim, Betilel, Betshamayim, Betilel, agree that what? That a Kohen that wants to go through, actually it's not only a Kohen, I should point out in this case, it's even a Yisrael, because if Yisrael becomes Tameh, he would not be able to bring Korban Pesach as well. So for that matter, anybody can go through a Beit HaParis in order to bring Korban Pesach, but they require Bidika. Now the Gemara is going to tell us what this Bidika is. You have to inspect it. However, the end bodkin le'ochle terumah. However, if a kohen wants to eat terumah, we do not allow him to walk through the Beit HaParis, even with inspection. So this leniency of inspecting the Beit HaParis was only said for ochle pesach. Now, what's the case? How do you inspect? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel menapeach Beit HaParis ve'olech. He blows his way through. Meaning, the fellow walks through the Beit HaParis, and he walks very carefully, of course. Any big piece of, let's say, of the mit, he's going to see with his eyes. Any small piece that he might not visually see, he blows as he's walking. So any piece that's there will move to the side, so he'll be able to walk across. So therefore, you have no problem. Ah, but you might ask a question. True, he got rid of the pieces, let's say, above the ground, but maybe there are pieces beneath the ground, and as he's walking, he's ma'ahil, meaning he causes himself as a roof over the tum'ah. So how do you solve that problem? So Rashi explains this. Rashi says that the law of tum'at ohel was only said either on
Rov Atzamot, it's called Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan. Meaning, Rov Minyan means if the majority of the bones are in one place, it can be Mitameh Be'ohel. Or Rov Binyan. Rov Binyan means you have the big bones, for example, the thigh bones, which consist of the majority of the frame of the body. Only Rov Binyan, meaning majority of the frame or majority of the limbs, can bring Tum'at Ohel. And therefore, in this case over here, we're not concerned, because since the body was plowed up, we're not concerned that you're going to have Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan in one place. So I'm not worried about what's underground. What's underground, there's no Tum'at Ohel. What am I worried about? What's above ground? Oh, so let's say a Kohen wants to go eat Tirumah. And to get to the Tirumah, he's got to walk through the Beit HaPaaretz. What do we tell him? You can't go. Either go around the Beit HaPaaretz or figure out something else. But to go eat Korban Pesach, the rabbis waive the law of the Beit HaPaaretz and they allow him to go through what's called Bidika, through being Menapeya, through blowing his way through. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Abaye Mishemed, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Beit HaPaaretz Shenidash Tahor. We have another din. Let's say you have a Beit HaPaaretz that was trampled, meaning you had a band of people that walked through the Beit HaPaaretz. Now what's going to happen when they trample through? So any fragment that's above ground, if it was the size of a se'ora, by them trampling it, they're going to cause it to fragment where it's going to become less than a se'ora. And therefore, you're not going to have a problem of tumah at all, because an etzim that's less than the size of a barley is not mitameh at all. So Rav Yehuda's chiddush is that the Beit HaPaaretz that was trampled by people, tahor. Rashi, the last Rashi of the perek, shenidash baregel, tahor. Shedirisat haraglayim he'aviratan. The trampling of the field caused them to go away, the fragments. All the guy that wants to be Korban Pesach just has to inspect. What? Ask a question. Does anybody know if this field was trampled? If it's trampled, let him walk right through. Here's the chiddush. For those that want to eat terumah, lo samchinan ala, we don't rely even on trampling. Shiachol amtin, and there, because you can wait. Wait until they bring the terumah to you. What do you have to walk through this Beit HaPaaretz? Ubeit HaPaaretz b'devrehem v'dochmidu m'mkom karet nepesach. So you see, we have two cases where we're lenient by Beit HaPaaretz. Number one, he could blow his way through, which we allow him to do that for Pesach, but not for Terumah. And then we're lenient that if you have a Beit HaPaaretz that was trampled for Pesach, walk through. Rabbis are not going to put their gezerah on a Beit HaPaaretz that was trampled, but even for Terumah, they still kept their law. So let's review the three cases where the rabbis waived their laws. Number one, the case was Onen, right? And Inut Laila is waived, that the fellow can eat Korban Pesach at night. Number two is the Mitzorah, that became a Baal Keri. We allowed the Mitzorah that became a Baal Keri to go into Shad Nikanor and purify himself so he could be available to eat Korban Pesach by night. And Beit HaPaaretz, we allowed the fellow to go through, either blow his way through, or if it was trampled, we can rely on the trampling, that what? That it's Tahor, and therefore we can go in. The rabbis wave their Gezerah of Beit HaPaaretz in a place of Karet of Pesach. Hadran Alach Ha'isha. And now, Bezat Hashem, we begin the ninth perek of Masechet Pesachim, perek Mi Shehaya. And the Mishnah says, Mi Shehaya Tameh. A person, let's say, on Pesach Rishon, was Tameh. O Bederek Rehoka. Or let's say he was in a far off place, meaning he could not reach Yerushalayim by the evening. For example, when did they start bringing the Korban Pesach? On Erev Pesach after Chatzot. This guy was so far away that even if he would start walking, he would not get to Yerushalayim by the evening. So this guy is called a fellow that is Bederech Rehoka. He's on a far place. Velo Asa Terishon, and therefore they could not bring Pesach Rishon. The Mishnah says, what do they do? Ya'aseh Et Hasheni. They bring Pesach Sheni. Shagag. Let's say a person was shogeg. He was inadvertent. Meaning, let's say, he didn't realize that this was Eid of Pesach. He had his dates mixed up. Or ne'enas. Or he had another type of something that was out of his control. For example, let's say he broke his leg. And therefore he could not get to Yerushalayim. Ve'lo asat rishon. And he also could not bring the Pesach on rishon. Ya'aset sheni. He could also bring it on Pesach sheni. So the question then is, if you have cases over here, four cases that we say you can bring Pesach sheni. Tameh, derech lechoka, shogeg, anus. Why then does the Torah only list the case of Tameh and derech lechoka? Why only those examples? Give me the cases of the shogeg and the anus. That's the Mishnah's question. Imken, lama ne'emar tameh o shaya bederech lechoka. Why do you have to give me these examples? Now, Rashi explains this question. Let's read the Rashi. Imken, first Rashi in the Perek. Imken, lama ne'emar tameh b'gemara parich ha itztarich. We're not questioning why the Torah has to tell me the case of Tameh. The case of Tameh, I know why it has to tell me. Because the Hiddush of the Tameh is that even if he wants to bring it on Pesach Rishon, he cannot. Of course, how can he bring it on Pesach Rishon? Meaning, even if, let's say, he wants to send his Korban with somebody else, let's say a guy's Tameh, he'll be Tahor by night. He's Tameh Met, for example. Right? On the 7th day, Tameh Met. But what? He'll be Tahor at night. So he says to his friend, do me a favor. I can't bring it now because I'm Tameh. I want you to send it for me, and by the night time, I'll be okay. No. The Torah says, somebody that's Tameh, he cannot bring it on Pesach Rishon. He must wait till Pesach Shani. And therefore, I know why the Torah has to tell me Tameh. It's obvious, because it's teaching me a big Hadush, that a Tameh cannot even send his Korban through somebody else. The question of the Mishnah is, why does it say derech rechoka? Because we know the law is by derech rechoka, according to this Mishnah, if a person was far away from Yerushalayim, right? But let's say by the night, he'll be able to get to Yerushalayim. But right now, he's not there. He is able to have somebody else bring the Korban for him, and by the time he gets there, he can eat from it. Oh, so therefore, why does the Torah have to tell me derech rechoka? You tell me what? That the derech rechoka guy brings on Pesach Sheni and does not bring on Pesach Rishon. If it's to tell me what? That he can't bring it on Pesach Rishon at all. That's not so. He can bring it on Pesach Rishon through somebody else. So therefore, right? The Shaliyah. So therefore, why then does the Torah specifically tell me the case of Derech Lechoka? What's the Chiddush specifically in that case? So comes the Gemara and says, there's a difference. She'elu peturin mekaret ve'elu hayavin bekaret. There's a difference. A fellow that was Tameh, or somebody that was bederech lechoga, or somebody that was shogeg, or somebody that was ones, all these people that did not bring the Quran Pesach Barishon, they're going to be patur from karet. However, the others are going to be hayab bekaret. Who's the others? The Mishnah didn't give any other cases. This is a very, very difficult Mishnah to understand. The Mishnah is telling me, you know what the difference is between these cases and those cases? These people that the Mishnah listed, they're patur from karet if they didn't bring on the first. Meaning what? Derech Nechoka, Tameh, Shogeg, Ones. But the others, who's the others? The Mishnah list anybody else? Didn't. The Gemara is going to ask this question. But the others are going to be Hayav Karet. Furthermore, it's very difficult to even understand how this answers the question that was asked. The question was, why did Torah specifically write Derech Lechoka as opposed to the other cases? At least that's the way that she understood the question. The Gemara's answer is that what? There's a difference between these cases that they're not Hayav Karet if they don't bring them on Pesach Rishon as opposed to other cases. How does that answer the question of why the Pasuk specifically said Derech Lechoka? We'll have to see if we have an answer to this. But the Mefarshim all asked this question on Shitat Rashi. So let's start the Gemara, we'll see if we have a little more clarity. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar. We have a statement. Haya bederich lechoka. A guy was far away. Vishahatu vizarku alav. And he had a messenger make the shahita for him and make the zirika for him. Rav Nachman amar hurtza. Rav Nachman says it's good. Hurtza meaning it's accepted. Rav Sheshat amar lo hurtza. Rav Sheshat says no, not accepted. Also, comes out we have a mahloket amoraim, a very fundamental mahloket. Can somebody who's bederek lechoka have his korban sent through a shaliach? Mahloket Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshat. Rav Nachman amar hurtza. Rav Nachman says it's accepted. Mehasu dehas rahmana alav. The Torah was just having mercy on the guy bederech lechoka, giving him an option if he wants to bring it on Pesach Sheni. V'avid, but if he wants to bring it on Pesach Rishon, tavo ala beracha, let him be blessed. Which means this thing of Pesach Sheni for derech lechoka was not mandatory. The Torah is telling you, listen, you're far away, we'll do you a favor, we'll have mercy on you. If you want, we'll give you an option. But if the guy wants to bring it Pesach Rishon through a shadiach, tavo ala beracha. That's Rav Nachman's logic. Rav Sheshat Amar, lo hurtza. He says, no sir, if he brings it through the shaliach, it's not accepted. Why? Not accepted. Why? Midha dehaya rahamana ketameh. The Torah compares the derech lehoka to a tameh guy. Can a tameh guy bring it through a shaliach? Of course not. Just like a tameh guy can't bring it through a shaliach. Now everybody agrees that the Torah wasn't having mercy on the tameh guy, that he can bring it Pesach Sheni. It's not mercy. You're Tameh, you have no choice but to bring it Pesach Sheni. So too, just like the Tameh guy has to bring it Pesach Sheni, the Derech Lechoka guy also has to bring it Pesach Sheni. So that's the machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshat. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Mina Aminala. Where was my source that this is true? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Mi Shaya Tameh. או בדרך לחוקה, ולא עשה את הראשון, יעשה את השני. Look at the language of המשנה. A person was either tameh or בדרך לחוקה, and he didn't bring it on the first Pesach, he can bring it on the second. Now, obviously, what does it mean, ולא עשה, he didn't? מכלל דאיבעי עבד, implying that if he wanted to, he could have. Now obviously it's not talking about a Tameh person. A Tameh person cannot have brought it on the first. It must be we're talking about a Derech Lechoka. And then what is the Mishnah saying? Mi Shaya B'Derech Lechoka. Ve'lo Asa Pesach Rishon. Implying that what? He could have. How could have he? There was Shaliyah. So the one says I have a proof from our Mishnah. Because the language of Ve'lo Asa Et Rishon is Mashma. Shaya Yachol La'asot Et Rishon. That he could have brought it, he just didn't. Well, proof positive for Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshat amar lecha I hache. He's a hold it. If that's the way you're going to learn the Mishnah, you're going to have a problem with the end of the Mishnah. Sefa, the end of the Mishnah, diktani. Shagag, o ne'enas, ve'lo asat tarishon, ya'aset tasheni. The guy was a shogeg. Like we said, he didn't know the day. O ones, he broke his leg. He had a circumstance. And he didn't bring the first, right? Let him bring on the second. Could you make the same diuk over there? Implying that what? If he did bring it on the first, how could a shogeg and ones bring it on the first? The shogeg and ones. You cannot say that inference on the case of shogeg and ones. The Gemara says, "Midiktani velo asa." From the fact that it says, and they didn't bring, michlal de iba'i avad, implying that, that if they did bring, it's okay. What do you mean if they did bring? Hare shagag varin inas. You can't use that logic on a shogeg and an ones. The guy's shogeg. How's he going to bring? He doesn't know what to bring. The guy's ones, he can't bring. So how could you make the diyuk and come in talk and tell me, ve'lo asa, meaning, oh, but if they did, that doesn't work at the end of the Mishnah. So therefore, what Rav Sheshat's asking out of Nachman, your logic might make sense in the beginning of the Mishnah, by the case of derech lechoka ve'lo asa, that what? Ha'asa, it's okay, but it's not going to make sense with the case of shogeg and ones. So therefore, Rav Sheshat has a new interpretation to the Mishnah, and he says like this. Ela mezid ketani ba'adayu. So, you have to add a case to the Mishnah that's not written there. Add a case of mezid, somebody that was negligent. And read the Mishnah like this. Shogeg, ne'enas, o mezid. If a guy was either shogeg, okay, or ne'enas, or mezid velo asa, oh,
Now, in the case of Mezid, he would be able to bring. Right? Of course, the Mezid, he didn't negligence it. But if he would want to bring, he could bring. So therefore, add the word Mezid to the end of the Mishnah. Now, Hachanameh, just like you're adding a case to the end of the Mishnah, add a case to the beginning of the Mishnah. Hachanameh onen ketani bahadayu. And therefore, read the Mishnah like this. Mishaya tameh. O bederech lechoka, o onen. Meaning, add a case of onen. And therefore, what is it saying? That what? In the case of onen, the guy technically was able to. Didn't we learn in the last Mishnah that an onen can bring the Korban Pesach? And since he did not bring the Korban Pesach, and he didn't bring the Korban Pesach, but he was able to. So read the case of the Mishnah like this. Mi shaya tameh, o bederek lechoka, o onen. In the case of onen, that what? Asa tarishon, and he did not bring the Korban on the first half. So what? He can bring it on the second. And then give the second case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah is what? A fellow that was a shogeg, or ones, or for that matter, a mezid, velo asa. So therefore, add a case of onen and shogeg. Now what does this do for you? How does this do? What does this do for you? Look at Rashi. It's the third wide line down. V'letamech. It's tough in the word v'letamech. V'letamech, this is Rav Sheshat telling Rav Nachman. Sefa, gabe shogeg v'ne'enaz detana tu zimna ahariti v'lo asa ahay mukmatla. Where are you going to learn the words v'lo asa? Halo shagag v'lo yadash ayom pesach. Are shagag v'ne'enaz. Umay iba'e ika lememar acha. אלא מה איתך לממר? בלא עשה דשפה מזיד קטני בעדיו. You have to say that when it says בלא עשה, it's referring to a case that's not written in the Mishnah. And what's that case? A מזיד. ועלה כאי ולא עשה. דהי בעיה ועבד. Good. הכנמגה בלא עשה דרשה. So too in the beginning when it says לא עשה, עונן קטני בעדיו. ועלה כאי ולא עשה. תיעביד כדמרין הנאונים מפקח הגש שעתיד עליהן. Which means, an onen can bring. Really, that's just what will tell you. A derech lechoka, he cannot bring on Pesach Rishon. Not him, and not al yedeh shaliyah. Also, what does the Mishnah say? Velo asa. That's specifically going on the onen, because an onen can bring on Pesach Rishon. But he didn't, but he can, because the deen is on and can bring. So therefore, Rav Sheshat says, what are you talking about? You're forced, Rav Nachman, to learn that the Sefa was talking about a case of Mezid as well. Because when it says, Velo Asa, it cannot be going on the Shogeg and the Ones, it must be going on the Mezid. So just like the Velo Asa of the Sefa is going on the Mezid, I'll tell you that the Velo Asa of the Resha is going on an Onen. Because an onen lo asa, but if he wanted to, he can. But a derech lechoka, he cannot at all. So that's why Rav Sheshat learns, and then he comes along and says, "Amar Rav Sheshat matnitin named daika." The Mishnah is meduyeket, meaning the Mishnah is precise, like Rav Sheshat is learning. You have to say the Mishnah is missing some cases. Why? Diktani elu peturin mehekaret velu hayavim behekaret. Remember it said in the end of the Mishnah? These cases are patur from karet, and these cases are hayav from karet. Now, we know the cases of patur from karet. Obviously, if a guy was tameh, he couldn't bring up Pesach Rishon, he's patur from karet. If a person was derek lechoka, a person was anus, a person was a shogeg. However, ahaya, what's the case that you're going to be hayav on karet? Ilima as shogeg v'ne'enas. Shogeg v'ne'enas b'ne karet ninu. Which means, what's the case where you're going to be? The Mishnah never gave me a case that you hayav and karet. Ela lav amezid ve'onen. Must be that there were two cases not written in the Mishnah that are must be in the Mishnah, and therefore that's the case you're going to be hayav karet. On what case? Amezid, guy is a poshaya. He didn't bring korban pesach rishon on purpose. Hayav karet. Or in onen. Why? Since he could have brought on pesach rishon, but he was lazy. Now, what am I going to go to the mikveh now? Well, wait till Pesach Sheni. Hey, you could have brought up Pesach Rishon. So therefore, Hayav Karet. So you see, Rav Asher says, must be Rav Sheshat is right. Because otherwise, what's the case of going to be hayav? Karet. Must be, you have to say, mezid, as well as onen. V'Rav Nachman, amar lecha le'olam, amezid lechudeh. Really, Rav Nachman says, I agree. You have to add mezid at the end of the Mishnah. And therefore what? If the mezid guy, if the guy was negligent, he didn't bring Pesach Rishon, he will get karet. Ubedinu divrei lemitneh hayav. Oh, now you have a problem. Because if according to Rav Nachman, he's only adding the case of hayav, he's not adding the case of onin. Because he's learning that what? Derech rechoka is able to bring on Pesach Rishon. Right? Because again, let's review Rav Nachman's opinion. When the Mishnah said, Mishia tameh ubederech rechoka velo asa, means that the derech rechoka lo asa, but if he wanted to, he could have. Good. Because he holds what? He could bring Aida Shaliyah. Perfect. And the end of the Mishnah says what? But if a guy was a shogeg or an enas or mezid, the Rahman agrees, you have to put the word mezid in there. Because the mezid says, velo asa, implying that what the mezid could have. And therefore, what's the end of the Mishnah saying? Elu hayavim bekaret. Hold it. According to Rav Nachman and Rav Nachman, it's not hayavim, because there's only one case. He doesn't have the case of onen. It should say, vezeh hayav. So that's a problem with Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, "Ubedinu tiv'el mitne hayav." It should have said in the Mishnah hayav. Va'ad diktani hayavin. The reason why it said plural, "Aidi detana resha peturim," since it said by the cases of peturim from karet, it said plural language peturim. Tana sefa hayavim. So therefore, the sefa also uses the word hayavim, which is it's lav dafka. It should have said hayav, but since it said by the case of that the people that don't have karet peturim, so also peturim. Let's review quickly outside. We'll stop over here in the Gemara itself, but let's review outside what just took place. Basically, on this Amud, we have one mahloket. One very important mahloket between the Amoraim, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshat. Specifically on one case. On a case of Mishaya Bederech Rechoka, can he send his Pesach through a Shaliach or not? Rav Nachman says, yes indeed. Rav Sheshat says, no way. Now we want to analyze what is the basis of this mahloket. So Rav Nachman says, hey, I have a beautiful proof from our Mishnah. Because if you look at the language of the Mishnah, it says, Mi shayat tameh, o bederech rechoka velo asa. Implying what?
He could have.
Oh, so you see what? He could have. Ayedeh Shaliach. To that, Rav Sheshat says, I like your diyuk of velo asa, but if you're going to make it in the beginning of the Mishnah, you have to make it also at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said, if a fellow was a shogeg, on the enas, velo asa. Oh, ha'im asa, it's okay. What do you mean? How can you say ha'im asa? He's a shogeg and on this. There's no ha'im asa in that case. Oh, so Rav Sheshat continues his thought and says, must be, you have to say that the end of the Mishnah is missing a case. You have to say it's missing a case of a mezid. Oh, and that's what it means. Mezid velo asa. Ha'im asa. Very good. Which means the mezid could have brought. Also, just like you're missing a case in the sefa, I'll tell you missing a case in the resha. I'll tell you, mishaya tameh, o bederech rechoka. These guys have no options. O onen. Or an onen velo asa. Oh, good. The velo asa is going on the onen. Because an onen could have. Very good. And then the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah makes sense like me. You know why? Because it says, Elu hayavim bekaret. Now we know the cases that are going to be patu from karet. The case of patu, we're going to be shogeg, ones, derech rechoka, tameh. Who's going to be the ones that are hayav bekaret? Hayavim is who? The mezid and the onen. Why? Because both mezid and onen could have brought on the first, and they considered negligent because that they didn't bring. Very good. Rav Nachman will come along and say, listen, I agree, you have to put mezid at the end of the Mishnah. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Shogeg ve'onez ve'lo asa. You have to say that really the end of the Mishnah is including a mezid. And when the end of the Mishnah says, elu hayavim bekaret, it's lav davka. I really should have said ve'ze hayav bekaret, meaning the mezid is hayav karet if he didn't bring Pesach Rishon. Why did it say hayavim? Because since the beginning of the Mishnah it says elu peturim mekaret, it used the same terminology, hayavim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.